if you can see your football clubs heading in the right direction and trying to do things in the right way, you will wait.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, Patreon. Happy Thursday. Money in football.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're well. All for Jan, first money in football 2024, and I suppose it's one of the biggest stories we'll probably cover. Or are we likely to do more Manchester United, or can we finally put this one to bed now that we know this deal, subject to the ratification of the Premier League, which will come through probably not till February, we don't think, of Sir Jim Ratcliffe's, what we call it, 25% ownership of Manchester United?
That's what it is.
Is this likely to be the last piece of the puzzle here?
Well, the fact
is this end of story?
The fact that there's still 75% to go means no.
Yeah, but they're not going anywhere, are they, now?
No. Now that they've got their foot under the table with 25% and the fact that it's like 1.3 billion, obviously, in terms of purchase price for 25% means you're kind of tied in a little bit, mate. Yeah.
It's just so. What do you think of that?
And they've got first option on the rest, right, as well.
Can they do it, though? I know you're saying, yeah, Ineos has got shitloads of money and stuff.
Can they do what?
Do a full takeover from Manchester United. Is that something you could foresee happening further down the line?
Yeah. I think they'll own the club within 2 years.
What, all of it?
Yeah.
So why not just take all of it now?
I don't think the Glazers, they might not have enough money. So obviously, cash-wise, and the Glazers probably think over a couple of years, they maybe eke out a little bit more value.
What did you make of the 1.3 billion? Because to me, that price places the football club at 5.2 billion, right?
No, but it's 1.3 billion. He's got 25% of the B shares, and then they've got A shares as well and so on. So
has
I think
he
it's
not
a
got
bit
some
hard.
Of these A shares as well?
No,
wasn't
he's
that
got
part
options
of
on these A shares. He's got options on the 25% A shares. So I definitely think the price is higher. I don't know, is the honest answer, James. Like, I just think it's the valuation is going to be higher, 7 or 8 billion.
Yeah, you would say so. Just by the way, on those A shares and B shares, the A shares are worth 10 times the voting right of the B share.
Yeah.
Have I got that right?
Yeah. And then it's down to like dividends and stuff like that. You can put different rights associated to them.
Do you think, take a step back here for a moment as a neutral, do you think the Qatar bid was ever serious?
Yeah. For sure. I do think so. Definitely. They wouldn't have done it to drive the price up.
I just reflect on the fact that it was pumped out so many times that it was done deal. Like Neil Custis of a certain Red Top newspaper was like, yep, done deal. Rio Ferdinand came out publicly, didn't he? He was like, announcement today or tomorrow, it's done, it's going to be Qatar. And it obviously wasn't. It did feel like there were a lot of pushing buttons. Wasn't there someone else, a prince of Sheikh Jassim or something, had leaked some documents that suggested it was all signed and sealed, and felt like there was a lot of pushing. And
yeah,
it was never really closed. And I just reflect on discussions we've had in the past, obviously to a lower scale, but like your guy who tried to buy Derby, who had literally no interest in buying Derby. Do you think there could have been a little bit of just getting the name out?
Yeah, there might be a little bit of that. There might be a little bit of that. You reminded me, you know, Dozier Mosley, he's under investigation by the SEC.
He is, I saw that, yeah.
America now, as well as misrepresenting how much cash they had and some shit like that. But yeah, I mean, people always put their name up, but I think it's particularly hard with Manchester United because of the amounts of money involved. Some of these clubs that are in distress situations, you can sometimes buy without any money in your pocket because they're worthless, because it's just buying debt, if you know what I mean. All you're saying is, I'll take the debt on. Whereas with Manchester United, that was far from the case. So I think it's a bit harder to throw your name around with threes and fives and 6 billions than it is with 50 and 100 millions.
True.
Potentially.
But
so
when this...
I don't think anyone who wouldn't be in a position to do something like that would.
But we all know Sheikh Jassim now. None of us, not many of us would have 12 months ago. That's my point.
Yeah, but apart from his name, what else do you know?
But I know him. Not personally, obviously.
No, but what do we know? Just that he's a rich guy, and
Yeah.
that's about it. So what's he going to
Yeah.
do? Buy another football club or a different football club?
I
Who
don't.
knows?
I listen, these people with too much money to make sense, mate. Often it is about status and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. It just there is something weird on reflection. The amount of times it was like, it's close, it's close. I remember tweeting something. It feels like it was about 6 months ago now, and I was like, Manchester United is the one football club, in my opinion, does not need this. Like, to be honest, most other football clubs going down this route of Ratcliffe and Ineos and partial investment, and you're going to take over the football club, football team, and the day-to-day team decisions, if you will, in terms of transfers, etc. And yet 75% of it's still owned by other people in the background. To be honest, most other clubs, I'd be saying, yeah, you're probably doomed to not work out here, really. But for Manchester United, I feel like it can, because it's such a power. I feel like United don't need state money to be competitive at the top. Manchester United are not at the top now, not because the likes of City have got more wealth, if you will. It's because they've fucked up. They've made bad decisions for 10 years. That's why Manchester United are not top of the league, really.
It's true. Yeah, agreed.
Rather than the spending of, say, City. Sure, it's had a big impact, but United's failures are down to United's failures rather than the successes of others, I feel. And maybe this change of modelling now, where Ratcliffe and Ineos, I mean, it's fair to say it almost feels like the football side of the football club's been sold for 25%. It almost feels like. Because that's how it's being sold to the fans, isn't it? They're taking over the football operations.
Yeah, and that will be with a view that Ineos can take the rest once they've got the footballing operations a little bit more under control. Because Manchester United in the Champions League and competing for the title is worth more than Manchester United in its current state.
Well, one of the things we'd said when I think particularly when I did the pod with Chris Church, was we discussed the idea that perhaps the Glazers had changed their mind through the process of perhaps which they called an original, like, an overview of reassessing their options, if you will, and were open to bidders, if you will, which people who support United were obviously hoping was going to be a full sale. But I did suggest on that pod that maybe they'd changed their mind midway through because certain circumstances had changed, i.e., United getting back in the Champions League last year, the advent of the Club World Cup, which will be in 2025, although as it stands, Manchester United would probably be unlikely to get in it. More television deals, the revamp of the Champions League, enough reasons to maybe just take a step back and go, almost what you said. Should we just wait a couple of years here? Because we might be able to make another few billion on this. That's how it felt.
Yeah. They don't need the money, right?
No,
The
but.
Glazers don't need the money, so it's kind of like what you're selling for. But obviously, people that get to that
But then
level of
but then the opposite of that
wealth
would
are
be
not in the business of losing money.
what are you holding for?
No, maybe they like it.
Do they? I think they only care about the money, to be honest. So, do you think if it wasn't about money, it'd be long gone?
Well,
No.
this is it. I'm looking for an answer to your question. I don't know.
I think it'll be about that. It will be about that there's
What's the
potential.
maximum upside?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
And
I
that.
would be in agreement as well. And Ineos have seen it as well, but for Ineos, it kind of makes a little bit more sense as well because if shit goes to pot with the footballing side and they can't turn it around, then they're under no obligation to go and spunk another 4 or 5 billion on the club. Whereas if they'd bought the whole football club, they're in for a penny, in for a pound, because Ineos taking over is no guarantee of success.
Oh no, definitely not. This isn't like,
So,
oh, they're invested. The football is going to get an overview in terms of they got Sir David Brailsford coming in, and it was part of Team Sky, and other
again,
people. They're trying to get Dan Ashworth from Newcastle, weren't they, as potentially like a technical director. That's interesting, by the way. The idea that someone might jump from Newcastle to Manchester United at the moment. I think there's a story in that as well, because I'm not quite sure why you do it, but it does suggest there's probably a little bit of faith in the changing of a guard, if you will, in terms of how Manchester United's football operations will be run. But then I also still think, no matter what, there is a massive allure to I work for Manchester United. It's
Oh,
still
of course.
the biggest name in this country, whether anyone likes it or not.
It's funny, they and Ineos have put up, well, some Jim, they say Jim Ratcliffe personally has put up 300 million for infrastructure updates at Old Trafford, and it's not enough money to fix the shit up. They
Is
say
that what they've
300
said?
million, he's putting 300 million of his personal money as infrastructure, but
Yeah, I
that's
saw that.
primarily for Old Trafford, but it's probably not enough to fix everything that's wrong there.
I mean, what I certainly can say is it's certainly not enough to build a new fucking stadium.
No, of course not. They need way more than that. So,
I
but
mean,
look, it's better than nothing. It'll go a long way to at least not leaky roofs and that kind of thing. You know what they'll do? They'll spend 300 million on improving the corporate facilities so they can make more money.
the thing with Old Trafford is, and look, I went there in the autumn last year. It's not, people act like it's fucking falling down and the roof's going to fall onto it. I didn't see any of that. For me, it was the big takeaway was that United were missing major commercial opportunities, even within the general admission of the football supporters in the ground. Because I took one look at getting a beer and went, I can't bother with that. It's going to take too fucking long. There's not enough, what do you call them?
Stuff or
No, not
kiosks.
stuck kiosk. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Did you also see, just talking about that, did you see that they got like a 1 out of 5 hygiene rating for selling raw chicken recently? Did you see that?
Oh, mate.
Load of people got ill. I think there was probably, because again, because it was United, it was a big hullabaloo about it. But I don't know if it was one area of the stadium or what had happened there. But yeah,
Yeah,
it certainly
that's
doesn't
human
help.
error. Someone's fucked up there.
But the point being is, you can't just throw more kiosks in into a football stadium. That doesn't work, right? So you can fix the leaking roofs. Yeah, sure, you can spend some million on that. But I don't know what they can actually do to generate more income. I think it comes back to the line of a little bit. Who was so disgusting? Lee Jackson. When Lee came on and was talking about Villa recently, and somebody asked about Villa fans with some of the stuff that's going off the pitch with them. By the way, we should be getting some announcement on their supposed new club crest this week, apparently, according to the Villa guys. But we had a discussion then about the envious eyes at Tottenham with the stadium. And if you're Manchester United looking at Tottenham's and going, okay, they've got like 15,000 less seats in the ground than us and they're gonna blow us away on a match day. Like how can that be right? How do we fix that? One of the things to discuss with Lee was the geography is important. You can charge more in London. But at the same point, United aren't maximizing what they could do in terms of the top tier of people, in terms of the people who'd be happy to go, yeah, I'll pay 20 grand. I'll play a grand a game to go to Manchester United because I can afford to and be wined and dined all day. It's just not enough that you can do there at Manchester United to have that sort of thing. So, I mean, the 300 million personal, that's nice of him, but that isn't going to solve any stadium issue for them. And I feel like that's going to wrangle on and on. If they come to a conclusion, went, right, we're going to rebuild Old Trafford from scratch, which me and Dad had this conversation the other week. This is an interesting one. And I did mention it with Chris when we did the Money in Football pod as well. It was like, if they knocked down Old Trafford, where would United play? And my solution was the only place it could be was Wembley. And that because they're Manchester United, it would be shit for the fans in Manchester for a couple of years. But there'd be enough people that they would fill it. They would
That
fill
they'd
Wembley.
share with City or something like that.
But what's in it for City? That's what my dad said to share with City. What does City need to take them for? It's not in it for fucking City.
True.
So anyway, but I have been reading
Cardiff's probably
recently.
closer to Manchester than
What is?
Wembley. Cardiff. Cardiff's got to be closer to Manchester.
Only one way in and out, though. It's that fucking bridge, isn't it? Fucking pain in the arse. That's all there is, that one bridge to get in. Yeah, fair point.
No. 3 hours 48 to Cardiff. It's going to be less to London or similar. It's not. It's
What you're
not.
looking at, drive. Train's probably not that different. It probably is a little bit
Now
less to
you'd be looking
Cardiff.
at Sheffield or.
None of these places are big enough that, like, the Millennium Stadium
But it's
or
not.
Principality, wherever
You're
it's
not going to
called
get
these days,
anywhere big
would be.
enough. You're just
No.
not. Some people are going to struggle.
Anyway, but I have been reading recently that there probably is land near Old Trafford that probably could be used to build a new site similar to what Tottenham have done. And that's their way into it. But To be honest, now with this partial takeover, it's almost like, well, who blinks first on that, right? Whose jurisdiction? So what does that come under? If you want to build a new football stadium now, which presumably is going to be part of A, helping the team, but B, also generation of your revenue and your income, who's going to put the money down now to build new stadium? Who's this on? Is it on Glazers or Ineos?
No, it's going to be on INEOS. It'll be part of the purchase price of the club. Will be because they'll discount it, right? They'll discount the investment in the new stadium off the purchase price, whatever it may be. It might be half or something like that, but they'll come up with a commercial agreement around it.
So, what do we reckon the cost of that would be? 2 billion?
The stadium, I mean maximum 2 billion. Construction is cheaper now than it was when you built your stadium. Well,
I'm not
what
sure
year
it
did
is
you move
such
in?
2019.
Okay, no, it's not. It shot up post-COVID and has come down from when it shot up, but it's probably still at the levels, if not 15, 20, 30% more than it was around then. So, yeah, I think 2 billion, depending on what you want to build, would cover it, should cover it comfortably. Yeah.
A lot of cash. I'm not sure that's straightforward. I don't know why that would come under Ineos. If they've got a quarter of the football club and the Glazers have got three quarters, I don't know why that sort of thing would come under Ineos.
Yeah.
Eventually, they're going to have to do it, I think.
Not yet. It's going to have to happen.
We were talking about Brentford the other day as well and saying, like, anyone who's been to Brentford will notice, like, they've built it as big as they can. So people, oh, right, Brentford's 17,500 seat, you need to make it bigger. They can't. With what they've
Even
done,
going up.
no chance, mate. Got
Yeah.
railway tracks basically around the whole stadium.
Right.
Railway goes basically around three sides of the ground, and the one side that they could put up, which is actually near where the away end behind one of the goals, they've built like a hotel complex behind it and stuff. So there's nothing you can do there. So I was discussing with Dad that I said if they stayed up for 10 years, I think they'd think of building another stadium. Because eventually you're going to go, well, just by virtue of being in London, get 30,000 every week. No
Yep.
problem at all. And again, United are going to have to begin looking at this in the revenue. You know, Liverpool just built theirs. We know Chelsea will eventually want to do something with Stamford Bridge. It's not on for United to be anything behind from a, that's a commercial advantage for United, should be the stadium. And it's not currently. What do you think about the football operation side of things? Do you think it will get better, or is it just talk for talk?
This is an interesting one because when I put a tweet out a while ago about the cost of Antony and Sancho being the same as like our front three plus Ward-Prowse plus 20 million and change or something, which is amazing to call it Alvarez. And a lot of people are like, you've got to remember the Manchester United tax, and they pay more than others do for certain players.
That might be part fair, yeah.
But they don't have to pay that money, right?
No, that's right.
They choose to. And you can go about doing things differently. I don't think Man City, despite paying £100 million on two players, but then there's lots of 50s and 60s in there. And we all know that they've got money. Have had their pants pulled down on any transfer, particularly.
On City.
Have they ever had their pants pulled down on any transfer?
I think a few at the start, yeah.
Oh, that's a
It
while
felt like it
ago.
was
A few
buying a
out
new
of it.
forward every transfer window in the first 3 or 4 years.
Rubinho's the world and stuff.
That your Santa Cruz's and stuff like that. I mean, these weren't bad players. It was the fella they got from Swansea. Jesus Christ, his name's escaping me. Wilfred Bony.
Bony. Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like it was buying someone else. And you're still sitting there with like Aguero there. Like, you don't really need to do this, basically.
No.
So yeah, I think a few at the start, such, but
Yeah,
not so
they
much
kind of
these days.
not more recently. Okay, what about Real Madrid? Do they get their pants pulled down hugely? Even though they spent 100 million on Bellingham. How many times have they spent 100 million on a player? Have they had their pants pulled down massively?
I couldn't tell you enough about Real Madrid's smaller transfer business to be able to give you a fair answer on that, I don't think.
The problem with Manchester United now is that The number of £70 million plus players that have fallen apart there is crazy. Anthony, you'd have to put there, Sancho, Harry Maguire, Romelu Lukaku. Like it can't, it stops being even Casemiro. I mean, they paid big money for him as well. He's disappeared after half a good season spread over a season. It can't be, they can't continuously keep overpaying just because they're Manchester United. At some point, you have to make the decision to say, if people want to take the piss out of us, we will say no. And we will keep looking and keep looking and keep looking because it is possible to get players. Now, whether they'll be able to buy Ward-Prowse, if they went to buy Ward-Prowse, would he be 40 instead of 30? You might still be better value at 40 than Antony at 80 or something like that. They've got to stop. It's the only way.
Yeah, say no. That's it. But
Yeah, I think that's it.
the
They've got
external
to say
pressure
no.
there, it's the same thing. The external pressure there is massive more. And I often say about their transfers quite often that it feels like they're one step forward for two back. Like
Yep.
you buy a Casemiro, great, that's brilliant for 6 months. Oh, right, that's plugged a new problem now. Now you've got the next problem. You haven't fixed that becomes a new problem, and meanwhile you haven't fixed another problem. Antony, just as an example, is just a massive overspend, isn't it? Whoever signed off on that. And to be fair, if the Glazers have got sold up the road by all the football people and went, yeah, this guy's going to be worth it, and they've signed a check, can't actually blame them on that.
No. I never blame the Glazers. We'll come back to one thing to do with the debt in a second. I don't particularly blame them around the football transfer. It's not their area of expertise, and I don't think they choose and sign the players or the transfer
No, I
fees, but
agree
they
with
do
that.
pay the money. But the other thing that's more concerning is that quite often it doesn't feel like the failure of some of these players is always footballing. With Sancho, for example, it feels much more cultural or something to do with behind the scenes related stuff. And even when you look at Marcus Rashford, right, as he's not a transfer in, yet he has still suffered the same incredible drop in ability or not in ability, in
Probably confidence might
performance.
be a better word to use at the moment.
Yeah, and it all seems off the field related issues rather than on the field related issues. You say what you will about Cristiano Ronaldo, but the issues with him, I mean, there was some to do with style of play, but there's no doubt that he's still a capable footballer, were off the field, and he had issues with that. And so I think a lot of it is not even about the footballing side of things. So you're buying, then it comes down to, okay, we need to buy the right characters for the football club. And they don't seem to be doing that either. And I mean, Mason Mount just disappeared with injury all of a sudden. There's no impact or no influence.
Barely seen him.
Someone like Christian Eriksen, I would say, look, you'd think that he'd be a good character to have in the dressing room. He's experienced at international level. He's experienced in the Champions League. What leadership impact is he having within the club? Like, very little. Yeah, I don't know. It's all cultural. It's not, the transfer fees are the transfer fees. If you had all of the same players and they all cost, take 20 million of every transfer they've paid in the last 3 or 4 years, those players would still be shit. So it's not necessarily about the money they're spending, even though, yes, they are overspending. And why is it? It's desperation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lastminute.com. I think I've heard it on phone. It's like Ajax, when United went in to bid for Anthony, just were licking their lips,
They kept
right?
saying we'd come back for more, didn't they? They kept coming back.
Varane, I think PSG,
PSG?
not sorry, Real
Real
Madrid,
Madrid.
were licking their lips to be able to get the kind of money for Casemiro and that kind of thing. I think they were licking their lips to think, what? What price? Okay, let's go. They didn't need to bid that much.
Well, look, from that perspective, in terms of on-pitch transfers and what happens, maybe that'll improve. You wanted to talk about the debt, I
But yeah,
presume, of the
one thing
football club.
I haven't understood in all of the research that I can do. Like, so one of the big problems was that the fans have is that the Glazers are using the club's money to pay off debt. With this investment, I can't see anywhere anything that says that they will no longer be crazy debt repayments or interest or anything like that. So I don't know if that 1.3 billion is going straight in the Glazers' pocket, or they could use that 1.3 billion to completely clear down some debt. But if they clear down some debt, there's no interest repayments. Debt repayments, does that mean more money is going to go into the Glazers' pockets? What they use the money for is really interesting here. But the biggest issue that a lot of people have had is that the club are using the club's profits and money to clear down debt, right? If that's going to carry on being the case, people, then what's the difference other than
Yeah, and that's
just
a great
different
point.
owners? It's just different owners, same story. And there's got to be something as part of the deal and part of the agreement. And if there was, I think they would have announced it, because it would appeased fans to say, as part of this takeover, we're now clearing down debt, or there won't be any repayments, or something, 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 something.
So, correct me if I'm wrong here, but United's debt as per their last financials, I think, was 725 million. Bearing in mind that as soon as the Glazers took over the football club in 2006, it basically got saddled with what, 600 million straight away. So you could say, oh, well, it's only increased by like 120 odd million. But haven't they been repaying like over 100 million a year in
The interest
loans?
and stuff.
Yeah, to fuck. It's not funny, really,
I
because
think as it stands
that's
today,
always the argument, isn't it? That's 2 billion's worth of money over the
the
20
gross
years
debt
United
now
have
is
had the Glazers.
507.3.
Was it less, is it? Okay.
507.3.
But that's basically 2 billion the football club has paid over the last 20 years, roughly, that could have been spent on infrastructure, new signings, whatever. Imagine if United had that, an extra 100 million to spend in the transfer window like every year. And admittedly, now that's becoming less and less of a big deal, just 100 million's in one good player these days. But that's what I mean about United's capability and power to compete. If you can remove this debt, I mean, this is part of the argument as well. You can remove this debt and get it off of having to pay 100 million loans every year and stuff, then use the money to be competitive and compliant with football sustainability and all that with City, etc. I have no doubt that Manchester United do not need to have the richest man in the world to be the best football club in the world. No doubt about that in my mind, that they just need to sort it out through their whole core, etc. Don't think there's an overnight fix in there, by the way. But so you from what you found, I don't find shit either.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening with the debt. Do I think that they'll improve the financial, the football decisions?
Yes.
Yeah, I probably do. But also,
It's also a
don't
case to
think
say it
that
can't be
just
no
because,
fucking worse.
well, that's true. But that doesn't mean Dave Brailsford's skill set is transferable. People also have their era and time. I think Jose Mourinho, you would say, was one of the best football managers of this century.
Agreed.
But in the first 15 years of the century, he ain't been so good in the last 10 years. Everyone has their era and their time. So I don't know if it's transferable in terms of Sadell's Dave Brailsford, in terms of what he can do. And the scale at which he has to do things at Manchester United, and the spotlight is different to Team Sky and Olympics and anything else he's worked in. So I don't think it's a guarantee of success. Yeah, you're right. It can't be much worse, though. So
The
that's, I
football
suppose,
decision
one
side of
thing.
it can't be, surely.
Yeah, I just think that they make bad foot. They've made too many bad footballing decisions, born out of desperation. And yeah, that has to change. I do think there'll be something in it for trying to stop the debt repayments and trying to get more reinvestment into the club. But Ineos are no different to any hedge fund owning a football club. They're going to be in it to try and grow the value
Everything I'd read on
and
them
make
was
money
that,
out of
yeah,
it.
it's similar with kind of the Chelsea story and stuff. There will
Completely. Yeah, that's a
ultimately be a,
perfect analogy.
yeah, it will ultimately be a seek for money in this. I know a lot of it's been sold of, and it might be somewhat for Ratcliffe specifically, this dream of owning his football club. Didn't they, wasn't the project for buying the football club called the Trawler or something? It was after Eric Cantona's famous
Famous.
speech, wasn't it? When he got suspended for the kung fu kick and stuff. And I do think a lot of it's been sold as much as possible of United fans taking back over the football club. And I don't doubt that he is, But I also absolutely agree that the company investing are looking at longer term profit here.
Listen,
And
this Manchester United
that's
fan, go on.
also okay, by the way. It's absolutely okay for a company to come in and go, yep, we want to run it this way, we want to make profit out of it. All the football people care about is treated properly along the way. Right. If it goes well on the pitch, off the pitch, all that, and then they sell in 15, 20 years and they make a profit, fans are cool. You looked after us, no problem. That would be the take, I think.
This Manchester United fan that's come over to take his boyhood club, blah, 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 18 months ago, mate, might have owned Chelsea.
That's also very true. He did try and buy Chelsea, yes.
So, how do you want to spin it? Because if he was that dedicated, would he have even bothered? He wants a football club and he wants to grow the value in that football club. And he's got lucky that the one that he could get is his, like this whole boyhood football club. If you said to me, you can buy your boy West Ham and whatever else, oh, by the way, it's going to cost you £500 million and you're going to have to invest this, that, and the other, I'd actually rather not own my football club unless there was a way of growing that £500 million because it's too much money, even if I had it, which, it's never going to happen, to risk losing in owning my boyhood football club. There's no, it's not the same as just like Enfield Town or Barnet or something like that. I couldn't even afford Barnet, mate. It's probably millions of pounds to own
No, I think
Barnet these
Enfield
days.
Town, you might be pushing it as well. I think
Yeah, completely.
I
Cockfosters
think
FC, mate, is about as
that's the
good as it
one, isn't it?
gets.
It's Cock Fosters, isn't it? Yeah.
It
When are we
is.
just gonna buy them or what? Have we decided just
No. One day we will own a football club, but we shall see. Yeah, I think it's bad. It's bad.
what this deal?
The state that they're in, and I think it's
Oh
going to take
yeah.
time.
Yeah, United aren't going to be like winning the league in May or anything like that. And I
No.
don't think it's suddenly going to get solved. I think he and himself, in fairness, has asked for patience in his open letter to Manchester United fans. And I think United fans won't be any. I they've always struck me as quite an intelligent bunch, actually, United fans. And I think they've always tried to stay with the managers and stuff. Like, it might be a lot of United fans who are calling for Ten Hag to go, maybe. You're not seeing any of it vocally in the stadium or anything like that. And it wasn't like that for Solskjaer. It wasn't like that for Mourinho. I don't even think it was like that for Van Gaal or David Moyes. I think they generally are quite a patient bunch. If they can, which is perhaps surprising considering all the glory they had for 20 years dished to them. I think. And like any football fan, though, whether you support United or you support Rotherham United, if you can see your football clubs heading in the right direction, trying to do things in the right way, you will wait. It's like me and Ange Ball, right? I don't expect Ange Ball to bring me the fucking league on a platter straight away. I see a direction of what we're trying to do. And I think Manchester United probably felt like the club wasn't theirs for way too long. I think the bad news is this deal isn't back. It's not yet back in Manchester United hands. And I disagree with your point, actually, such that the Glazers will probably sell in full in a few years. I don't think that'll be the case. I think they'll
It'll
hold on for
own.
as long as they can.
I think it'll only be the case if the club is worth more money. If the money they're going to get in a couple of years is less than what would be on the table right now, I agree with you, they won't sell. If it goes up significantly enough, then I think it will be.
Well, Manchester United need to be honest, to get to that point then, the quickest way for, I think then, for United to get a full takeover done, which is obviously what they all wanted, irrespective of who that owner may have been, the quickest way to get that done is to improve things on the football pitch, actually. Because the sooner it gets back in Champions League, etc., the exposure, all the things we always talk about, that's the quickest way you're going to put value back on the football club. And the stadium will be another way of doing it. But that's a serious outlay of money that's going to put a bit of a burden on that football club for a while, I think. I think they'll get there eventually because it's inevitable as a Manchester United, but it might take a really, really long time for them to, when I mean back to the top, it's not to say they can't win a league in the next 5, 10 years or anything like that, but I mean to be the best again, to be what City are now, long, long, long time.
Cool. Patrons, obviously, a lot of you are Manchester United fans. I say a lot, some are. Jump in the comments on the Patreon app or We have a dedicated Man United Slack channel. You can all have a conversation around there, whether you agree, disagree with what you think will happen, whether you're happy or unhappy about the takeover and whether or not INEOS are the right people to drive the club forward. It will play out over due course. But yeah, interested to hear your thoughts. And yeah, James, I agree with what you said at the start. This is definitely not the last time we're going to be
Over.
talking about Manchester United by any stretch of the imagination. Patrons, tomorrow is a look at the FA Cup in a slightly different style diff show. We've got obviously Bristol City. Who have you got again? Oh, Burnley, ain't you?
Burnley. Yeah, I'm going to have a look at a
Friday
little bit of a
night.
discussion about a few things to watch out of in terms of the impact of the results, which is fantasy football related. I think we'll have a bit of a discussion about how we feel about the competition, get an idea of what games we're going to watch this weekend. Do we actually give a shit or not? There's actually some really good ties this week. There's a few games I want. It's the first time I think for a while I've been interested in a few games that didn't feature my own team in the FA Cup third round.
Cool, good, good. Patrons, stay safe, look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.